Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. It's Teresa in America.
Hi, everybody. We're back.
Since our last recording, a lot has changed very quickly in the world. So, as with all other podcasts you're probably listening to, everybody's thoughts are focused on the corona.
Yeah. On COVID-19. But
I'm trying to oscillate between like what feels like horrible depression and just thinking everybody's going to die, or and sometimes being like, well, I guess everybody's going to die, to like horrible anxiety and like just the spiral of what ifs, to just the default using really inappropriate humor to cope.
I would say that that's like a natural state of yours, which is hilarious. That's the way you're framing it right now. But
every time I text somebody, I have to write like 5 texts, and then I have to delete them, like on Facebook too. I'm just like, nope, can't rate that. Nope. Inappropriate.
I feel like there are a lot of people out there in the world. Yes, everybody's talking about these issues. But for me, I think what I come down to at the end of the day is, it's important to stay connected to the people that you have some sort of connection with, whatever that may be, even little tidbits of connection. And, you know, we wanted to talk about, despite all the things that people are talking about right now, one of the things that we really wanted to focus on was feeling trapped during this time and in other times of crisis. Because I think I've been experiencing that a little bit, where I'm just like, everything that I've learned to take care of my mental health along this journey has been truncated in my mind. It's like, use this now, but it's not working.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our physical space is being limited. So I wanted to really focus on that, because I think a lot of people may be dealing with similar issues, but I could totally be exaggerating. I don't know.
I don't know. We're going with what's on our mind. I think the feeling trapped concept, when we came up with, you know, what we feel like people are talking about or not talking about. So we may do this as a series, because I think a lot of people feel trapped in a lot of different situations. So when you said that topic, I was like, oh, I feel trapped in bad relationships, toxic relationships, feeling trapped in a job you don't like, feeling trapped by your own brain and your mental health problems. So
right.
I think that it would be cool, and we will, I think, you know, trickle in a series of feeling trapped, because I think we all feel trapped. Is this like a collective trap? Is that what social distancing is?
It's putting, I think, everybody to the test to just really, you know, use a lot of the tools that I think are oftentimes used in therapeutic settings, so that, you know, things like reframing and, you know, trying to think about things differently, trying to tackle things that you kind of been putting off, it makes you question why.
It's funny because that we said feeling trapped during crisis, because I think in other crises, like when someone in your family dies, you know, it's not just like we are literally all now trapped. But I think most people wouldn't necessarily Google feeling trapped during a crisis. They would Google feeling overwhelmed or crushed,
yeah,
by the crisis, right? Like, and that's what you were saying about what happens to our minds when all of the things that we know would work goes out the door.
Yeah.
When something is so big, it just overloads your mental table. And you're like, oh, you think you got a handle on life? Here.
Yeah.
Carry this. You know, let me see how you handle this.
But I think what you were talking about, you know, how you have, you're going from like depressive kind of ideas to all like the range of different emotions and all of this. I think that's so natural, because I've gone through that. You know, in the moments where you're just kind of waiting to hear more information, you're like, oh my God. And there, I don't know if there comes a point where you're just maybe used to the information, and when you have to shut it off and you're just like, okay, that's it. I got to do what I have to do for myself. But my mind has kind of focused on this idea, what you're seeing on like Instagram and things like that, are people like, oh, I'm living my life, you know, you can't really live your life in the way that is normal right now, because we are being asked to protect ourselves and the well-being of our communities by social distancing. And then being in the same space with people that maybe trigger our worst kind of personality traits.
This is funny because when we're stressed out, I think that the people who you are love the most, who are then the closest to you, it can go one of two ways. Like when somebody dies in your family, a lot of times people turn towards each other because the grief can bring you together. And maybe they find more solace in one another. I do find that that happens more with extended family. Maybe people you don't see all the time who like come to you because they're like, you know, like when someone dies and like the whole family comes in and you have a lot of solace from seeing people you might not have had a lot of experience with. Mm-hmm. But then the opposite can also happen, which is like we are at our worst when we're really stressed out.
Yeah, so definitely.
There are like more fights and everybody is so tense. The opposite of feeling solace with your people is that you, you know, snap or say something in a way that you wouldn't normally say.
Yeah.
And then because I'm also stressed, I'm not taking it the right way in a calm way. I'm gonna react to it to the max and be like, rah.
Yeah. Why'd you say that in that tone? It's like, I didn't say anything. Yeah, I've had those
conversations. That's actually pretty good if you said that.
No. Those are good words I use there.
Those are good words. I feel like the next level word would be like, don't talk to me like that. That's still pretty good. And then like, what's nuclear?
What the F get do you mean?
Get the frick out of my face.
Yeah, yeah.
What did I say? I don't know. I'm trying to think back.
Well,
see, that's so funny. Like in the moment, I know that I've had multiple arguments about just how stressed. Everything from like, just if somebody didn't do the thing that you wanted, or you question someone's judgment. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe this is relevant to me because we're all supposed to social distance. And my husband's like, did you wash your hands? I'm like, don't tell me what to do.
No, that's me. That's me. That's me, Teresa.
Why did you go to the store? And I'm like, because we need to eat.
No, but I like what I feel is happening out in the world and in our own spaces, right? Is the way that I frame it is if you go to therapy on a regular basis, right? You go in. Generally, if it's like in-person therapy, you go in, you sit with your therapist and your therapist is like, how's your week been, right? And in a week's time, you generally have, you know, a couple of situations that have come up. And maybe of all those situations, one thing is kind of like the sticking point, like, oh, we've been arguing a lot. Okay, so why have you been arguing, right? And you're trying to like find one aspect that you're going to tackle. But then all of a sudden, that's kind of taken away with the idea that now you can't go to therapy in person. You may have to do it maybe, online or something like that, if that's an opportunity. But for all the other people that exist and are existing in this space, and for all the self-care that we can put out into the world, which I think is very important, we still have to be mindful that there are environments for people that if our suggestion, for example, is isolate yourself from the people in your network that are triggers. It's like
toxic.
Yeah. Toxic.
Yeah.
I lock myself in like the closet? Or just
create distance.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, I can't create distance.
Right.
What?
Right.
Yeah, you're totally right. You know, so much of our focus has been on isolation, but it really is the opposite. That's also a challenge. And it's like, you're talking about that, the releasing the valve, you know, for a lot of people going to meet your friends or going to where your, you know, your groups or your thing or your therapist or your club or
right.
adult clubs like the bar. Those are release valves, you know, those are your ways to get the release valve. And right, what happens when decompress. We don't have the release valve, we're like, I always talk about people like especially anger. I don't know if you relate to this concept, but when I used to be especially more angry than I am now, I used to think of myself as like a sack of flour. I used to just shove all my crap into this bag, like all my things that would make me angry. And I never had a release valve before. And then when the crisis hit, and sometimes the crisis would be something small, it would like punch the bag and the bag would go poof.
And yeah, it would explode.
And then that was me. It was just explosive. And you're like, and now I've learned, like, I need the release.
Yeah.
Something. I need to release because I cannot keep shoving in whatever is happening in my brain into that place because I just become tighter and tighter and tighter.
Yeah. Like, we are adults, right? So we have this idea of, at least in our situation where we leave our homes or we have our spaces where we are working. But all of a sudden, people who have the opportunity to work from home are not leaving their physical space. So there is like the actual location, right? For me, I know, for example, it's very important for me to have my own space and have distance, because it helps me focus. It helps me disengage from whatever has happened at home. And then I'm at work. I'm in work mode and I'm focusing on that. But now where we are, you know, that may be limited. So when you talk about the flour bag, yeah, dude, flour one, it's like super fine, right? So it goes everywhere. Like that's a really good metaphor because at the end of the day, you can clean all the stuff that is visible, right, afterwards. But all the stuff that remains like underneath, like your stove, it's like it's going to live there, right? So you have to still think about the impact of that.
Also think of it like how much you put into your bag. Like yeah. Sometimes you're like, oh, I could take another tablespoon of this. Oh, I could take another teaspoon of this and like half a cup or a cup. And then you're like, let's try 2 cups. You know, you're like,
yeah.
You put your crap in that bag and you're like, you know, whoever takes the crap out of the bag. Like if you don't take your stuff out, you can only hold so much. So I don't know. So some people it's like the table metaphor. Some people the bag, because I feel like the bag is a little more like the anger, right? Like yeah. The table is my life. It's like the stuff that I can carry. It's like the backpack. But like, I don't know. There's something, the idea of like you hitting your max limit where like, yeah.
I'm thinking like, a lot about
this is where I feel trapped. Yeah. You know? Like, yeah. Yeah. You're literally trapping in all your junk.
I'm thinking about all the different conversations that I've had in the last few days. And a couple of things that come to mind. One, it's definitely moms that are having their kids with them 24/7.
Why are you trying to trigger me?
I'm sorry. I'm not only thinking about you. I'm also thinking about other moms, you know, that are out there just like, what in the world? And the
like working moms who aren't used to taking care of your kids.
Yeah. You know, seriously. It's like they go to school, they have their time, they're home, and you have your structure after that. But now they're kind of in your face, and finding time for yourself to decompress, I think, is so important. And I keep joking about like going and like shutting myself away in the closet. But dude, it's the greatest thing. I'm going to close the door and it's like nobody's going to find me for like 20 minutes. Right. It's just
me. Is that
me.
Where you go?
I could. I think if I did that, my fiance would be like, babe. If I took my purse with me, he would never know that I was in the house.
That's hilarious. Yeah. You know, I think adults are pretty good about giving each other space when we need to. Like if things get really tense and you're like, get away from me. I just need space. Like adults yeah. are pretty good about that. What sucks about kids is they don't understand personal boundaries. Yeah, they follow you everywhere. And like what I, you know, not even all before this, I noticed that when I'm like particularly stressed from work or whatever, it's really horrible. These are like failures of parenting. But the thing that scares me about being stuck in with my children is I know when I'm really stressed, which feels like whatever. Those are like small moments of crisis. I am just not a nice person.
But, you know, what I hear you're saying is like you're paying attention to these things and you can recognize them, but I don't think you're alone in that feeling of like, what am I doing? Could I do better? And I think a lot of people feel that way, especially right now. Our patience is very thin, especially when you're being bombarded by so many things in the media and you're just trying to just function. And I think that's what's critical for people and helping them to kind of think through, it's okay. Like, you can totally be impatient. I know you're not going to be abusive to your kids, you know. Maybe you are, you'll be a little bit short with them and be less impatient, but I think there are also then opportunities for after that may happen to help them understand why that was. And little by little, they may get that. But little kids particularly do not have any kind of notion around boundaries. It's just you and you are theirs.
That's it. But they forget, you know, that's what's lucky about like little kids. They'll forget. They won't remember. Like, I think parents who have like children who are eight, like if you're short and you're screaming at your 8-year old, like that is a different kind of challenge.
Because
your kid will remember,
they will remember that
you were like not kind or whatever. And it's just really hard. And this isn't just the crisis that we're in. This is crisis. Like, this is all crises.
It's functioning.
Like, when families lose housing, when families are stressed about finances, like it's stressful to have to worry about all the things. And it is true that in those moments, you don't have it in you to give.
Yeah.
To yourself, hardly, to your partner, to your children. And I think you're saying that it's okay. Like, these are the things that are expected. Then we can come back. And remember to come back. That's interesting you said that, because I think in the past, our parents would blow up at us and they never came back. They never came back and said, I am sorry that I mistreated you, or I yelled at you, or, you know, I'm sorry that I yelled at you. I'm sorry I didn't pay attention to you. And I think that sometimes when I'm at my best, I have gone back and I've been like, I am sorry. Even to my little kid. And that is what children need. And they're super forgiving.
Yeah.
And maybe your husband is too. I don't know. Less so.
All those things, though, and what you're saying, they're true. Like what you're saying, in any situation where we encounter ourselves just being overwhelmed. And within the last 2 weeks here in the US, you know, the feeling of being overwhelmed, I think, has like tripled, right? That's not a statistical fact, by the way, but I'm just saying it's the notion that all of a sudden our lives have really been turned upside down, and it is for the welfare of all of our communities. But then we have to figure out what that means for us and how we're going to be able to manage all these things, with the understanding that at some point, hopefully, this will get better. As frustrating as all of the changes can be and the situations that we may find ourselves in, I think it's always really important to think about whatever tools you have used in the past, maybe they can't be as useful at the moment. So that may require some additional work on your part to find something that helps you manage right now.
Yeah. And what you're saying that resonates with me is like, when you're in that overwhelmed space, like the really intense space where panic feels like you want to set in because there is too much to carry, and you're feeling trapped in your mind and in everything that's surrounding you, you can't practice skills. The only thing your brain needs right then is self-soothing.
Yeah.
Your survival brain is telling you, like, in that moment, you're not going to be able to function until you can soothe your head and your body and do what you need to first stop the panic train that's happening in your mind and your head, and then calm down just enough to take those next first steps.
Those are really good pieces of advice. While you're saying that, I'm thinking about my own reactions within the last couple of days and the community in which I'm in, right, where all of a sudden, and I would imagine this is the case in many of the communities that are across the US, where everybody, all of a sudden, there was, everything was fine. And then news came out that it was just spreading more, and there's more news and more news. And the survival mechanisms in our brain are telling us, do what you need to do to take care of yourself and your people. Out of nowhere, it's a very instinctual thing to say, holy mamma mia, what am I supposed to do right now? And I remember sitting in the car, I think it was on Friday of last week, and I was just like, what? And I read a line in an email that was something like, this is an unprecedented time in history. And I was like, history? Oh my God, what do you mean history? And I was just like, America, calm down.
Yeah, this is panic. That is the panic explosion.
Yeah.
In, if you're having a panic explosion because you're trapped in your panic, it's like, I envy the people who are organized enough to even plan, because I'm the one sitting in a circle spinning around and I'm going to be dead because I'm not planning anything. I'm not functioning. I'm just
so you have your husband.
Yeah. My husband's the planner. He's like, oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, let's do this, you know? And I'm like, what? What? Get it.
It's so funny like how we're nonsensical. Such opposite relationships.
It's like, I feel horrible for him that he's trapped with me because it's nonsensical and it's so up and down. Like the first time he asked me, like, what do you think about this? I was like, well, we're all going to be dead. And he's like, what? And then the next time it was just like, I don't even know. I don't know. Don't talk to me. Don't ask me questions. I can't figure out your problems. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I just don't know. Just stop talking to me.
You crack me up.
Maybe our brains are already so freaking hardwired to be on it all the time that a crisis is not the thing that I can handle. I just can't. So I just shut down.
I think you are more equipped than you chalk yourself up to be.
No, America, I'm just hiding. Grateful that we're remote working.
I feel the opposite. I feel like I've been very productive just pulling stuff together. But I think that that's because we function in two different kind of spaces. You know, like I am more methodical in my thoughts. So I'm just thinking about the type of things that would be helpful.
Wait, so is your partner me?
Yes. Yes, my partner.
Can you tell me what it's like to be married to me? Is it frustrating?
Yeah, all the time.
Do I have to go apologize?
Yes, you should. Completely.
What do I say?
Thank you. And you first say thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. But it's also the opposite.
I'm sorry, I'm useless.
It's also the opposite, man, because, you know, it's a balance. Because, dude, having to be methodical 100% of the time is hard on a person. I think what is useful, though, is I like to go for like even a drive. It's still me isolating myself from others, but it just gives me a break. It's just a mental break.
Yeah.
Which you should do if you have the opportunity to do so. Or, you know, go for a walk. If one more person tells me to go for a walk, by the way. But yes, it is. It's nice. It's nice to be outside.
You're locking yourself in your closet.
Yeah. But out of all of these things, like I think about the range of experiences that people are having, because you and I have people that we live with. There are other people that are isolating alone, you know.
They're
and
alone.
I used to, before my relationship, you know, I was alone. I was single and I was living a solitary existence in that sense. I made this joke with somebody yesterday on the phone. I was like, how many times can I talk to my dog? He's not talking back, you know?
I know. Totally. That's a totally different type of the trap of isolation.
Yeah. And that's something I want to, you know, with this session and the ideas that we've been talking about, you know, in the next few weeks, we are just going to be talking about the range of experiences that people are having, because they are all valid. And whatever you can get out of these mini sessions, podcast sessions with us, you know, I think it's very useful to hear that we're just all struggling. We're living the way that we can and trying to maintain our mental health, right? Because that's at the end of the day what we're worried about. But I would like to say that if you guys have ideas about what you want us to talk about, send an email to podcast@mhanational.org. We're always open to hearing from you.
Definitely. But let's summarize. So I think what I heard today is it's normal in a crisis to just panic, and you have to release the valve.
Yeah. Don't let flour get everywhere.
Yeah. The tips on the self-care, just out the door. Forget it. You're not there. That's not where your brain is. Your brain is in a more primal survival space that doesn't require 10 self-care tips like journaling.
Yeah.
That is not going to help me.
Yeah.
Breathe. You're in this space. It's going to be okay. You're okay.
Yeah. Find your safe space in whatever way that means for you right now. Whatever that means.
Step away before you blow up. Recenter. Use your code words, whatever those are.
Yeah, definitely. And be patient. Be patient with yourself and with others.
And apologize and come back, you said. Apologize. Yeah. We all need to apologize to each other.
Yeah.
When we're not good to each other.
After this session, my apology will begin.
Well, apparently I need to say thank you and show gratitude.
That's right, man.
So first, gratitude.
Yeah.
And apology.
Yes. All right, guys.
Thanks, America.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Keep fighting in the open.